In fact, the women of South Sudan are suffering in different ways, and especially the people of South Sudan in general, being elderly persons, children, youth, and everybody is suffering in different ways in South Sudan. And it could be lack of will from our leaders, politically, socially, and economically. Our hearts are bleeding. And we lost our children, friends, colleagues, and we have traveled many miles looking for our independence and for the country called South Sudan. Although we had celebrated the 9th July, the day before yesterday, in a very calm and quiet manner, still we have a heart that we could have celebrated in a big way, because we lost more than 2.5 million people in that journey. Yeah.
All right. So how will creating centers for healing, especially for women, contribute to women empowerment in the country?
Yeah, in fact, that is one of the requests for us to meet His Holiness. There are still many people who did not join the peace process in the country. Some of them are outside, including General Malong Awan, and including General Thomas Shirilo. And if we were really added in that peace committee, which was engaged with His Holiness Pope Francis, we could have been able to engage with them until they can accept to come into the country, since the elections are almost to take place soon. So also, since the country has been traumatized by the war and severe insecurity in the country and suffering, there is need for counseling and healing to the people of South Sudan. And for us to establish the centers for healing, unless we, if we are supported financially, that is what can be able to make us to establish the centers.
Right. So are you saying issues of ladies, mostly the gender-based violence that women find themselves into, are you saying that efforts to fight this gender-based violence have not been prioritized? Is that why you are deciding to involve His Holiness?
Yes, the gender-based violence and sexual violence are not really prioritized. And also, what makes it worse, there is no awareness. Creating awareness to the women and the youth and anybody who is really affected by the sexual violence, awareness is very limited. Even the ARSIS, dissemination of the ARSIS was very limited. So there is a need for us to engage with His Holiness. And then also he can also take our messages to the Christian communities around the world. And they can also support us in one way or the other, being technically or financially.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, are you optimistic that when you are granted all these wishes and you get to meet the Pope and you get to be part of this advanced team, are you optimistic that these issues will be tackled?
We are 100% sure that the issues can be tackled, because when we were involved in 2014 in the peace process, it was very, very difficult for the parties to the agreement to come together, even to stay in one hotel in Addis Ababa, even to dine together, lunch together. It was very difficult. But we try our level best to engage with all the warring parties. We engage, and then also we consulted the IGAD what to do to bring them together in one hotel and take them to different retreat until they come together. So we engage them, and most of the time when any party walk out from the hall, We also follow them. We go and talk to them and move to the other one. We were really doing dialogue and mediation together with the IGAD.
Mm.
Yeah, so we are 100% sure we can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let us talk more about the role of the women in faith-based institutions in the peace process. Are they being sufficiently recognized and included?
The women in the faith-based?
The women in the faith-based institutions, like probably the nuns, the pastors, if there are any women involved in that sector. Have those women been sufficiently recognized? Are their efforts being recorded? Are they being recognized? Or their contribution is not there?
In fact, what I have seen with the women under the South Sudan Council of Churches, they organized several meetings.
Hmm.
And they do a lot of fasting and prayers at the country level in South Sudan and outside South Sudan, because that one also I witnessed it with the women in Kenya, the South Sudanese women there. But during the peace process, we had a representative from the Islamic Council, which were in the team with the faith-based. And then also we had a technical person which came with the Council of Churches, Margaret Matthew. She was with us and she was from faith-based as a technical person.
Mm.
So that is a person I can say she was involved by then.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So how can women voices be vocal in all this?
Actually, we have tried our level best to come together despite the challenges, because there are so many challenges that carry out women in different ways.
Mm.
And when our voice was very vocal in the peace talk in 2014, 2015, until we signed the agreement on behalf of the women for the first time in the world history, it has really motivated many South Sudanese women to be involved.
Right.
Even in the revitalized access, when it was signed, several women were part of it and they also signed the agreement in their different capacity. The representative of the academia was a female, and the representative from the FDs was a female, which is now the vice president, Madam Rebecca. And then also we had a representative from Women Coalition, was also a female.
Mm.
We had a representative from civil society, was a female, and we had also a representative from other organization. She was a female.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one attract more women to come in, and up to now, I think women are very
vocal. Right.
Yeah.
From what you say, that means you have been walking the journey of our agreement from day one. I'm told your initials were also on the agreement. Is it right?
Yes.
Okay. So you
right.
So you have been there from day one. So what actually motivated you? I mean, in times where previously, before now, that you're saying that women have been attracted because of these aspirations and because of being inspired by the women who have already been there, what gave you that motivation from the get go, from the beginning?
In fact, during the liberation movement, I was a kid, I was a young girl, and my mom was involved in the women association, and they used to mobilize food and used to mobilize clothing and mobilize everything to support the army. And we started in the village. Even when I passed, start cooking, I cooked for the army in the village. I was very young.
Oh dear.
And then we moved to the refugee camp. And my mom was in charge of our area.
Mm-hmm.
They do collect food and everything, take the logistic.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to support her. Then when we grew up with that mind of helping and supporting a humanitarian base. And then also when we were in Kenya, I was also working with a women association called SWAN, South Sudan Women Association in Nairobi.
Mm.
So we also met, for the first time, we met Kofi Annan.
Wow.
To communicate.
As members of SWAN.
As members of SWAN.
Right.
And actually I myself and Honorable Ann Ito, we met Kofi Annan in Gigiri when he came to Kenya.
Mm.
And we gave him our communique so that Our issue has to be understood by the whole world and then their involvement.
Mm.
And actually, we did a lot of work. We went as a peaceful demonstration. Mm-hmm. We were carrying coffin and all this. And women of Nairobi were very united in mm-hmm. all aspect of life. And then when we came to Juba, I was involved in the private sector in a hotel called Kush Resort Hotel. So in 2013, when the conflict erupted in Riyadh, majority of people ran to my place and they become the IDP camps. That area, that hotel where I was.
The Kush Hotel?
Kush Hotel, yes. Mm. I was a managing director. So I had to host them. The food that I had in my store, I have to bring it out. I accommodate them in my tents and support them and give them, I'd host them for that particular time. And mm-hmm. then by then, and I went to SSBC. Talk to calm the people down so that they should not do revenge and the war should not escalate. Mm. And then that is the day I started advocacy.
Wow.
I started advocacy on the 17th of December 2013. I went to the hospital, Juba Teaching Hospital, and I got a pathetic environment in Juba Teaching Hospital. There was no electricity, there was no water. And if you see the people who are wounded, lying down and they are suffering.
With no help.
There was no help. So, and I was a chairperson of tourism and hospitality industry in Juba, chairperson of hotels association. So I went to the radio and TV in SSBC and I called all the tourism and hospitality industry, the hotel association
the
and the restaurants to help the hospital by bringing food and support them with water and also the fuel because there was no electricity by then.
Right.
And they did. Most of them respond.
Wow.
And one of them, I can remember her name. It was Madame Zahra.
Mama Zahra. Yeah.
She came
She's
with
popular.
She came with porridge in the buckets. And we really support people in the hospital and the private sector really supported that. So, and I had my book in going to Nairobi because always I always celebrate with my children and they're in Nairobi.
Yes.
I went to Kenya on the 18th. On the 19th, I went to our embassy and talked to ambassador that we need to create awareness. What is happening in Juba is very bad. It is a very serious issue. So ambassador gave us go ahead. And Kenyan, you know, they're very good with their media. We went and engaged and called them. We call, we form a coalition called South Sudan Peace Coalition. And we invite them. The media come and they did a lot of coverage. When the international community saw us, that we had our press statement to calm the people of South Sudan down and not to escalate the violence in the country, they approached us and they said, what is your opinion? So we said, our opinion, we need to have our position paper as civil society. So they support us. We were supported by Oxfam. And then after that, in our position paper, we said we wanted to be involved in the peace talk so that we can put our voice there. So they facilitate three of us, one from Greater Equatoria, one from Greater Bahr Ghazal, one from Greater Upper Nile. And then they facilitate us to peace to Addis Ababa. There was a conference of peace, civil society peace activists. So among the 16 people who were nominated, I was among them, among the 16 under the leadership of CPJ. CPJ. So later on, the other civil society alliance came in and we were moved out. When we were moved, now that one was coming to May 2013. We were removed, so I remained in Addis Ababa. And some women who came also from different background, we sit down and we said, let us claim our space. Because the other political parties, they came with either one woman, one woman, one woman, one woman.
It wasn't balanced.
There was no balance. So we said we need our space. We need a space for 35% because
so
the UN
resolution. You were the pioneers of the 35%.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. We said the UN resolution 1325 is talking about the participation of women in the conflict affected areas. So we claim until June. We were accepted. So imagine 6 months
we
were following the procedures for mm-hmm. us to be accepted in the political round discussion.
Right.
So it was not an easy task.
No, it wasn't. And of course, we have you and your team to appreciate for how far we have come. Now, the UN says gender-based violence in the country has increased by 500% since March this year. And those figures are staggering. So what is your reaction to this? And are some of your suggested solutions to the scourge of GBV in the country, what are some of your solutions that you think can help fight this vice?
In fact, I cannot say that, yes, maybe it has gone up to 500%, and I cannot say no, because up to now, I don't have a justification.
The statistics.
Mm-hmm. And it can be true in one way or the other, because these days everybody is traumatized. Out of confusion, people just think in a very negative way and they do wrong things and wrong decisions. So because of the conflict here and there, communal violence, and then later on, they always react to the women and children and elderly person. Even some people do a very negative thing, like what happened in a will recently.
That five-year-old child.
That five-year-old child. So I cannot say, yes, it has gone up to that level. But that is why, actually, we need a facility that will really create a reconciliation, healing, because of trauma that has happened in the country, because people are traumatized. And if there is such things, we need to engage. It will not be only women. We need the community.
So you're saying this, some of the suggested solutions is the community has to work together.
Yes.
In fighting this vice. Right. So what has happened to the women's bloc since the IGAD-led peace process in Ethiopia? I mean, back then, women's voices were very prominent, like you said, especially in the cries. Are you still performing your role as a pressure group? I mean, from what you said, 6 months, you were fighting so much to earn your positions at the decision-making table. Is your organization still that pressure group?
Yes, we are a pressure group, but not to that extent, because already we have a relative peace in the country. And there's some violence which is happening in the other different part of the country. We have so many women groups which are also raising their voice, and especially when somebody have an evidence of what has happened. What we are after mostly now, we are focusing on women economic empowerment, so that the women are empowered economically, because people are suffering. Majority of people, their children are not going to school. They don't have a distant shelters. They don't have basic needs. And these are the things that we are also, because there is no peace through development. Peace is through development. When your children are not going to school and you are suffering in one way or the other, even your stomach is empty, there is no food, you cannot listen to anything people are talking about. Even if we invite them for the workshop or a meeting, and somebody has nothing for transport to move from house, from her place to the other place, they cannot attend the meeting. So our focus really was on women economic empowerment, and that is what we put more efforts. But about peace also, we talk about it, but not as usual, because there is a relative peace in the country.
Right. So how many women have you been able to help out economically?
Up to now, we are engaged with our with the bank, so that also they can also build our capacity. And also the bank, we contribute our little monthly contribution, like Sanduk, the one the women do in the area, and saving. So, but the saving that we have is very small. It's not big. It's not really helping out other women. But we are also pushing with the World Bank and other well wishers to support the women with the grant. Madam Rebecca went to US and she was supported, but up to now, the Women Enterprise Development Fund and Youth Enterprise Development Funds, the policies are not yet passed by the government, and the money is not yet released.
Mm.
So the few women who are in the market, who are selling vegetables and fruits and name it, so many small businesses,
mm-hmm.
majority of them are struggling by themselves, but they are not getting a good support.
Mm.
You remember, we are lacking many things.
Yeah.
We are lacking capital, financial support, and also majority also need capacity building,
mm-hmm.
so that they can be able to sustain, manage their business and serving,
mm-hmm.
and taking loan and all these
mm-hmm.
other things. So there is still challenge here.
Okay, so the sanduk that you do you have members in your group, or how does it work?
Yeah, we have members. For now, we registered, I think we reach 70,
mm.
70 women, which are registered.
Who have registered. Okay.
And including, the business women, and then also the working group,
mm.
Those one who are not able to be in business, but they can be able to save their money.
Their money, yeah.
Because if you save, like, for example, you have been saving 1,000 SSP, that is the little amount money now,
mm.
For 12 months. In the next year,
mm.
it will be 12,000,
if it
is 1,000 every month. So in the next year, if you want to take a grant, you can take grant of 33,000. It can be multiplied by 3,
okay.
and given to you,
mm.
if it is through the bank. But if it is through Sanduk, from we collect from different people, it mm. is given to so-and-so this month. And
it
then next
rotating.
Month, it is rotating.
Right.
It is the same money,
yes.
but because people are 10 or
mm.
20,
mm.
so you are given 10 this month, like that.
Mm.
But what we want to do with bank is to, we are now with the cooperative bank, but the cooperative bank, they have experience of the previous year
mm.
when they had given some people grant and
mm.
They did not manage to pay back. So I think their policies are still not allowing the loan to come out.
Mm.
But also they have a skill. We call them in our meeting and they also train us.
Mm.
So that training is also good on our side.
Mm-hmm.
But we move together because there are other partners who are promising that they are going to support us in agriculture.
Mm.
So if that grant come and go to cooperative bank, it will be very good because they have a skill and they are also managing to give
mm-hmm.
us a training and capacity.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I look at this as a platform and also an opportunity for women, for many women to join. Well, it bothers me that you're not over 500 or something. Where do you think the loophole is? Aren't you doing enough awareness for the women to come and join you and start saving with you? Because the scheme is good, actually.
Yes. In fact, we can be more than 500
mm.
and beyond 5,000. You know, people, when they see what I have realized now to South Sudanese people,
mm.
they want to see a fruit of something right now. And if it is something that is rotating and they have not yet seen, and with so many workshops and conferences that we have attended with the World Bank and with the other international partners,
mm.
I believe, my dear, when that grant will reach the bank and they will hear the grant is
that
being given,
money now.
you will
come.
See 7 million women coming out one day.
Wow.
You will see them.
So our biggest enemy is lack of patience.
Lack of patience.
Yeah.
Because they want to see something that is live now.
Right.
Like, you know, when we were doing advocacy in the peace process, people used to ask us, what are you doing?
Mm.
You are just cracking your mind.
Imagine.
Who will listen to you?
Yeah.
Sometimes I tell them, my friend, the small candle in the middle of darkness in the night you can see that is more light.
There's a contribution of light.
Yes.
Yes.
And also, even when you are in the room and there is one mosquito in the room, you can feel that there is a mosquito here.
Right.
So for with them, they wanted to see something that, you know, after we signed the agreement and they see us, we are in JEMAC and we are in different committees. That is where they realize. But because they have right, you know, there was no women in across the world that ever stayed in the round table political discussion, discussing issues. Even one day,
and the nation.
Yes, I was sent by UN Women here to Jordan in a conference with the women from Arab world. And you know, Arab world has a lot of challenges. Mm. And the women were asking me, how did you manage and how did you get it to get there to the round table political discussion until you sign on behalf of women of South Sudan? Mm. And why is it difficult for you to penetrate the issues within the country?
Mm.
I said that those were two questions. Mm. How did you enter? And why is it become very difficult,
for
the first
to penetrate.
Question, to penetrate, and now you have peace in the country and you cannot solve those issues? I tell them, one, I will start with the last one. When you are dead, you cannot advocate.
No, you don't.
So with us here, we are come and do things in a very smart way so that we can survive. So we cannot throw ourselves into the fire simply because we need peace. Because we will not gain it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go slowly by slowly.
Slowly but surely.
But sure, we are moving forward.
Right. Right.
The entering to the round table political discussion, I told them it was not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible said, if two or three gathered in my name,
I will be there.
He will be there.
Mm.
So by then, we, the first seven, so one of us left. We were left six. Even six of us, the two came later after we achieved the space.
Right.
But we were left four. Four of us, we really advocate and speaking with one voice until we got the space.
Mm.
So that space now brought in all the South Sudanese women.
Wow.
And now I'm proud because we have the vice president, which is a female, and it is 35%.
Right.
We have the speaker in the parliament, and it's 35%. And the cabinet, you know, at least there's a fair representation, you would say. On top.
Okay.
But there is a gap down there.
Uh-huh.
There is a very huge gap in terms of governorship, in terms of deputy governors, in terms of all from the apart from the executive, you will see a gap down. Yes, there is a very huge gap down there.
Well, that would lead me to my next question. Are you happy with the implementation of the 35% affirmative action in the decision-making processes?
In fact, not 100% happy. Not 100% happy. We are happy because we have our representative up there, but we are not very happy because after this representative got their space, they are supposed also to help those others to get their space down there. So after because they are our voices and they are our eyes and they also sit where the decisions are made, they are supposed to speak on behalf of the rest. Because this time now, we don't have a chance to engage up there. But they're the one who have the chance. So I'm not really very happy with that.
Okay. So what do you think can be done to make things better? Because, I mean, if we are happy about the 35%. It is a step in the right direction. But other women are saying it is time now that we even get advocate for 50%. Do you think we are there yet?
In fact, we don't need to advocate this time. What we need to do, we need to vote for ourselves so that we can even pass 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What we need to do is to create awareness among ourselves and to say now it's time to trust each other.
Mm.
It's time to collaborate and agree in on the issues that pertaining women. And then we built, our teams so that we can be able to support. If you are in Yei River County and we the women on this side, we go and support you so that you can be able to get that space and that seat. If you are in Eastern Equatoria, we do the same. Mm-hmm. If you are in Central Equatoria, we do the same. If you are in Jongole, or you are in Upper Nile, or you are in Northern Barazal, or you are in all those areas, we know each other now. And you know, women who are literate, there are not too many. Mm. There are very few. But we need to do a strategy. Which women do we need to be in the national government, in the executive? Or, yes, whom are the women we need to be in the parliament? Mm-hmm. Because you don't need to give them so many positions. If somebody is in the executive, he's not supposed to be in the parliament, mm-hmm. so that it gives the chance to the other one.
Others, yeah.
If the other one is in the state assembly, okay, we have also other one who are in the executive
right.
in the state. Mm. Others also can be commissioners, because up to now we don't have any commissioner female.
Mm.
Others can be Payam administrators.
Mm.
Others can be Boma administrators. Others also can also be chief. Even we have so many women in faith-based group,
mm.
and they can also help people to be chiefs, because
mm.
they know the word of God,
mm.
and they know everything down there.
Mm.
So when we do that, those women leaders who have really trained themselves, they can be able to manage all these things, and we can pass. And some women, we don't only concentrate on women list or affirmative action, 35%.
Yeah.
Some of them, they are capable, and they can also compete in 65%. Yeah, so this is how we can do it, if at all we get a chance, so that we can be able to organize ourselves.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You also speak of the need for establishing a reconstituted, revitalized agreement. Why is that?
Yes, the establishment of the reconstituted RR since 2022 is very, very important, because now the government, and especially His Excellency the President of the Republic of South Sudan, Salva Kiir Mayardit, in his many statements, he's saying that we have to implement the RCs in letter and spirit. And we believe in 2022, the agreement will elapse. In 2023, we are supposed to go for election.
Mm-hmm.
And we know election in our neighboring countries, when people go for election, it needs a lot of preparation for a long time, mm-hmm. for a long period, people to organize themselves, people to campaign and do all this. But now the challenge is that the census of the country is not done. The second thing is that the refugee and the IDPs are not yet back home. And then the insecurity across the country. So when the president and the vice president go for campaign, and while the rest of the people are not yet in the country, it will be very difficult.
Mm.
So what we were suggesting as a women bloc members in our consultation, because we were being consulted by different stakeholders in the country, in Africa. So we said the better thing is to reconstitute the RRCs, and especially the Transitional National Legislative Assembly. So that they can be able to go for election.
Mm.
We call it parliamentary election. They go for parliamentary election, and when they are elected back, and I believe, you know, when the election is taking place, even anybody else who was not in the parliament can also go and join them.
Right.
Whether you are abroad in diaspora and you have heard that there is election in the country and you have interest to come back home, you can come. The people in the village, they know people. They can nominate or elect whoever they think to represent them in parliament, both parliament, the state parliament and the national parliament.
Mm.
So when these people are elected to the parliament, And we exempt the five vice president plus the president to as a constitutional holders. Like when the agreement was discussed, the two positions were not discussed.
Mm.
The position of the president and the position of the vice president were not touched. So that is what can also happen. The position of the president and the position of the five vice president should remain as with their status. Then these people go for election.
Mm.
When they come to the parliament and they pass their election, they come to the parliament. Now the parliament has to elect the new leadership of the government, including those people within the parliament. So this is what we were thinking, that it can shorten the all what the time we lost.
Mm.
And this one had also happened in Somalia. And it had also happened in South Africa some time back.
Mm.
And it has also happened in Australia.
Right.
So we can copy and face what other countries has done before. And we can also do it as South Sudan to help us move forward.
Right.
Yes.
So does all this require us to reconstitute our revitalized agreement or just extend the interim period?
No, not to extend the interim period.
Mm.
Only to reconstitute that RRC's 2022, just for that period of time, so that the reconstitution of the RRC's 2018, just only the parliamentary election to be conducted.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Amer, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us today. Is there anything else? What would your final remark be?
My final remark that I can say, today people are discussing on the Nile River dredging or cleaning of the Nile River. And some people were also saying that they had rumors about the canal, which the Minister of Cabinet Affairs yesterday in the consultation meeting in Freedom Hall said no, they did not touch anything to do with the canal of Jonglei. So as a person, I support the idea of cleaning the river. Because most of the boats now or the barges is very difficult for them to move, but this contract can be given to local South Sudanese.
Doesn't have to be Egypt.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Egypt.
Hmm.
So they can be able to clean, because now they are the one, they are staying in the water. They know how to fish. They know how to do everything. And we have a qualified and a South Sudanese expert in water and managing of the water resources. So these people can help us. How best can we get those machineries? And each and every group who have applied for the bidding and contract are given their small portion to clean the
river.
To clean the river. Right. We don't need to bring other international
experts
from outside. We have our local expertise.
Mm.
And if we need to international expert, we can just consult them.
Mm.
And if we need a machineries, it is you, a South Sudanese, which is given a small contract, because River Nile is too vast and it's too long from Numeli up to where? It's too far.
Mm.
So every small group can be given a small portion and then clean, and then it's come up with the standard and the policies.
Mm.
Now we have expertise which are South Sudanese, and they are in Freedom Hall and they are discussing this. If somebody is interesting to go and listen, please just go.
Mm.
It will go on for the next 3 days. That is what we are saying, because it doesn't matter that we need international companies, because people were not happy because of the history of the Egypt with the canal. So that is why they didn't want. They thought maybe the dredging is to clear the water, and then the water will flow to Egypt, and then the desert will start in the country, and we will be in trouble. And we cannot manage this, because this water is the one helping us now. We are eating fish. That is the only source of food we have, because our agriculture is very weak in the country because of the insecurities.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, about that, of course, the president suspended all activities until a feasibility study is taken up. What is your reaction to it?
Yeah, I actually support that. And I appreciate His Excellency the President for that bold decision that he has made, so that the feasibility study is done, and then also they can alter the contract, because we need that contract to go to South Sudanese. Not only that contract, so many contracts, they go to the foreigners, and that is why you are seeing the economy of the country is very weak, and South Sudanese, they don't have chances. Even very, very small contracts. South Sudanese, they are supposed to bring those international companies as subcontract. We give them subcontract, but not the one to win the whole contract, and then later on we remain with nothing. That is why if you go to our market now, you will see the market is dominated. It's dominated.
By foreigners.
Mm. So where is our space now here? Yeah, that is what we are saying.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Amer Manyok Deng. Thank you so much.